Morning, everybody.
The average person speaks about 16,000 words per day. That's 112,000 words every week. That's 5 million words in a year. We use words a lot. Words are important. Every word in our Declaration of Independence matters. And carefully crafted words like in the Gettysburg Address by Lincoln are very powerful. It's been stated that the pen is mightier than the sword. And what could be more powerful than words like "I love you" or especially these three words by our Savior, "It is finished"? In American history class recently, we looked at Vietnam War protest songs. We looked at lyrics by Creedence Clearwater Revival, a song by theirs called "Fortunate Son," about a young draftee who didn't have a rich daddy to get him off the hook so he could avoid the draft. "I ain't no millionaire's son. I ain't no fortunate one," the songwriter said. Stevie Wonder also wrote a song about the Vietnam War directed toward politicians who kept making promises to get us out of the war. He wrote, "If you really want to know our views, you haven't done nothing." Both songs have catchy tunes, but the central message is found in the words. And any songwriter like Stevie Wonder that's worth his salt will tell you that the music is really important, but the central message is in the lyrics. And that's coming from a wordsmith like him. But to be a hit song, it really does have to have a catchy tune, doesn't it? Someone once said that a hit song is one where the music is done right and the words aren't done wrong. Adding lyrics to a song definitely can add depth and texture and something that we can relate to make the song even more powerful. And I know that what I'm about to say in the next few moments might upset some of you, but try to keep an open mind and be honest with yourself. But it seems like in our culture, it's the music that matters the most. Even if the lyrics are offensive, it becomes a hit if the music is catchy. The question is, if the lyrics are raunchy and immoral, and it wouldn't be on Jesus' list of approved songs, then should we be singing along with those songs? When I was back in high school, I absolutely loved the Beatles. And I really do still enjoy a lot of their songs now, still. But back then, I was fiercely loyal to the Beatles. I thought they walked on water. I remember a conversation I had with my dad once. I had no idea that my dad knew anything about John Lennon, but there we were having this conversation about a John Lennon song. I imagine you've heard of it. Anyway, my dad was pointing out the fallacy in these lyrics. "Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky." Now the music to this song is one of the sweetest tunes ever written, in my opinion. And I still feel that way. But back then, these lyrics didn't mean anything to me. I just loved the song. And I didn't want to admit it at the time, but I was only listening to half the song. And I rebelliously defended John Lennon against my own dad. Now, misdirected loyalty is one trap, and so is veiled ignorance. Let me give you an example where you fake like you that you don't know any better. Let's pretend that you absolutely love Katy Perry and everything she touches turns to gold and she can't do anything wrong. Even that song about a peacock. Now, you could fake like you don't know any better and you could say, "Hey, come on, it's just a song about a peacock. What's wrong with that?" But you're smarter than that. I mean, look at the lyrics, call it what it is, and think twice before you sing along with that song. And she might have some good songs, you know, "Firework" maybe, you know, nothing wrong with it, although it's kind of stupid. I like to make fun of that song. But seriously, you really do have to think twice about before singing along with some of her songs like "Teenage Dream." Now somebody might, if you're zooming through the lyrics here, Somebody might say, well, maybe they're married, you know. And these lyrics would be fine, I suppose, for a married couple. But does anybody really believe these two are married in this song? You know, no matter how good the music is, the lyrics can make a song inappropriate. The words matter. And this is pop music. But this hip-hop scene that we're in now is quite prolific with raunchy lyrics that really should make a Christian absolutely blush. I'm not going to share specific lyrics on screen. I can't do that. But it's very alarming how misogynistic some of the songs are. Misogyny is defined as a dislike of, contempt for, or ingrained prejudice against women. Some of this music, some of it, advocates violence against women, denigration of women, sexual objectification of women. Females are presented as sexual slaves in some of these songs. They're treated like objects, not like people. And these so-called artists use lyrics to desecrate the intimacy of marriage that God instituted for man and his wife. And they turn it into something cheap and dirty and self-serving. Songs against women, though, are nothing new. But it's just so prevalent and in your face right now. But let me take you way back a bunch of years to 1966. And Jimi Hendrix had a hit song called Hey Joe. Check out this verse. Yes, I did. I shot her. You know, I caught her messing around town. Yes, I did. I shot her. You know, I caught my old lady messing around town, and I gave her the gun. I shot her. Okay, so his girlfriend cheated on him. So he shoots her. And if you look at the song later, he says that it's okay for me to be unfaithful to her, but she better not do it to me. And here's the lesson, you know. So why would a Christian sing along with a song that advocates murder? And for that matter, why would a Christian defend any really raunchy lyrics by guys like Chris Brown or Snoop Dogg or any number of guys that have very inappropriate, absolutely disgusting lyrics in their songs? We need to evaluate songs in all genres and think about what we are singing along with and what we're listening to. With Christian contemporary music, we should watch out for Reformed theology and other false doctrine that might be sprinkled in there. I think there's a lot of excellent Christian contemporary music, but not all of it is. Country music used to be much more lyrically honest and innocent than it is now. Not all classic rock is classic. I mean, singing along with Highway to Hell, I'm on the highway to hell, well, that's a classic spiritual blunder. The words matter. Even if it's only one word, it matters. Case in point, there's a pep band song we have. It's called Tequila. And about a dozen years ago, the late Professor Mike Siddle changed the name of that tequila song to Lancer, thinking that if anybody wanted to chant that word, the title, at the key moment in the song, they would be chanting the more wholesome word, Lancers, instead of tequila, from our bleachers. Well, sure enough, a few years later, some of our seniors started chanting tequila at the key moment in that song from our bleachers. And they were approached and they were encouraged not to chant that word from our bleachers. But a couple of nights later, they were at it again. So we took it out of the rotation, and for years it was not in our repertoire and band. That one word, tequila, I think you would agree, when chanted by members of our student body, would really send a message that we don't want to send to not only our home fans, but to our visiting fans as well. Do we even have to evaluate our own hymns? And most of our hymns are precious, like the one we'll sing in a few moments. But since they're written by people and they are not inspired by God, even they are subject to error. One example is hymn 473. I'll just come right out and say that stanza 3 gives me some problems. It's talking about the Christian, the Holy Christian Church, capital C, of all believers, and how it'll never perish. But later in the stanza, we see that there may be those that hate her, false sons within her pale. Well, how can that be? It contradicts Scripture to say that there may be unbelievers in the Holy Christian Church, capital C. Now, others might interpret this differently than I do, but I have a hard time singing this, and I don't. If a song is written by people, we need to be able to evaluate what we are singing. We are responsible for what comes out of our mouths. With our words, God wants us to honor Him and to speak well of our neighbor. He commands us not to lie, not to gossip, not to say slanderous things about others. He wants us to have control of our tongue. The Apostle James wrote a lot of things about taming the tongue. He said, "Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things." It's one thing to be careful about how you speak, but shouldn't we be just as careful about what we sing? I mean, what if one of your professors in class just started to rattle off a blue streak of the most profane curse words you've ever heard? Would that catch your attention? Would that shock you? I hope so. But what if he put those curse words to music and sang them instead? Would that make his words more acceptable somehow? No, of course not. I think word would get out pretty quickly all through the CLC and beyond about what that prof sang in class. It's a trap to think that singing offensive words is somehow more acceptable than speaking them. Have you ever heard yourself say, "I just listen to the music, I don't listen to the words"? And this can be a trap because the words matter. And I know there's another trap too. There's a trap of reading too much into a song, and I hope I'm not doing that today to any of these songs. But I do think we need to evaluate everything that we sing along with. If the words matter in a hymn that we sing and worship, then they should matter in our secular songs too. And there's nothing wrong with listening to good secular songs. There are plenty out there. I listen to a little bit every day. But there's a lot of trash out there too. So it comes down to practicing your skills as an evaluator and then making good Christian choices based on your love for God. I wish you God's blessings as you make your choices. Thank you. And we will close with hymn 400, stanzas 1 and 3.